you may have heard about efforts, you may have seen the stories and some of the concern about the Biden administration and some of the regulation efforts that they're taking up on hunting and fishing. And Mark Jones joins us this morning. Mark Jones is the director of hunter outreach for Gun Owners of America. He's a certified wildlife biologist. His resume is just absolutely incredible. Mark, I want to welcome you to the program. Great to have you along this morning.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Glad to do it. Let's start by giving a little bit of background. As I mentioned, I mean, you have extensive experience, decades as a certified wildlife biologist. As we talk about these hunting and fishing issues and regulations, you certainly bring a lot of experience to that conversation.
Yes, that's true. I worked as a state biologist and for a university combined for over three decades, you know, before coming to Gun Owners of America.
Well, let's take a look at some of the things that the Biden administration is talking about doing and some of the new regulations. Do you feel that these would limit hunting and fishing in states all across the country?
I definitely think they can. They're starting small, as they often do, to sort of fly under the radar. And, you know, the first bans will be phased in on national wildlife refuges. The first one was in Indiana. And what should be worrisome to your listeners is that federal officials have already leaked the fact that they want to expand these. And I want your listeners to understand this has nothing to do with the lead ammo ban for waterfowl. That's been in place for 30 years. The new proposal would ban all lead ammunition, rifle bullets, shot shells that people use for dove and pheasant, even fishing tackle. And if they expand this to all federal lands across the country, that will significantly impact many of America's hunters, recreational shooters, and even fishermen.
Which is incredible. So what's the kind of timetable that we are looking at that the federal government's moving to try to move this forward? Is this something that will be happening relatively quickly?
Yeah, that's a great question, Greg. And they proposed this last summer, and groups like ours and other sportsmen's groups opposed this in the Federal Register. You know, we wrote written comments, as did some other groups, pointing out there was no science to justify this. So they went through their kind of their announcement period, and they proposed to start this in 2026. Well, Senator Daines from Montana has introduced legislation to stop this because it's regulatory overreach. It's bureaucratic overreach. And so the battle will go on. The Biden administration, you know, would veto that legislation if it passes. As long as Biden is in office, he's going to continue to try to do this and expand it. So to kind of answer your question, this will go on for years in the courts and in the legislative process, but their ultimate goal is to ban the use of lead on all federal lands eventually.
And do you feel like sportsmen are having some success in getting the word out and fighting back against this?
Only recently. You know, the first comment period for the Federal Register was last summer, and it kind of flew under the radar. And they started it on small areas in primarily the Northeast and, like I said, Indiana. So a lot of the country didn't pay that much attention, you know, not in my backyard. But people are starting to wake up and realize that if this happens in Indiana, if this happens in Maryland, they will expand it to new areas. And if the original footprint of national wildlife refuges is fairly small, but if they go to U.S. Forest Service lands, national grasslands, and Bureau of Land Management, you know, you're looking at half the country.
Mark Jones is my guest. He's the director of hunter outreach for Gun Owners of America, and very concerned. So as you talk about the comment periods. When do people have an opportunity then to weigh in?
You know, I think the best way to weigh in now, because the bureaucrats have made their decision, the regulatory process is steamrolling forward, but the best way to weigh in would be to contact your members of Congress, both in the House and the Senate, tell them that you support Senator Steve Daines' legislation to stop the Biden lead ban. That's probably the best hope right now is the legislative process. And like I said, you know, that does make an impact. It's impactful, but if it passes, Biden's going to veto it. So this battle will go on into the next presidential administration. You know, hopefully we've got a president that will kind of respect the rule of law and stop trying to do this stuff through regulation and unelected bureaucrats. But it's not going to stop this year, next year. It's going on for the foreseeable future.
It seems like having watched a number of these things, Mark, as they transpire, it's pretty shocking. The government seems to make a decision, then they have a comment period, and it doesn't matter what the comments are, they're going to proceed with their plan anyway. It's a little bit frustrating.
Well, that's a great point. And to your point, there groups like ours submitted science-based comments with references from the scientific literature, pointing out there was no scientific justification for this ban. And they simply ignored those comments and went forward. They based their decision on flimsy science and certainly not data-driven, you know, research studies. There's no quantitative data that impacts that indicates population level impacts on species. There's no data that indicates impacts on humans. You know, most people don't consume the lead. They cut away the damaged parts of the animals. So they didn't have really science to back it up. And when groups like ours refuted that, they just ignored it.
Mark Jones is my guest. And again, he's the director of Hunter Outreach for Gun Owners of America. And we're talking about some of these proposed regulations and what the impact may be on hunting and fishing on public lands. Again, you have been at this for a long time, not only as a biologist, but as a hunter yourself.
Yes, that's true. I'm in my mid-50s. I've hunted since I was 8 or 9 years old. And so I've kind of seen the issue both as, you know, personally and professionally. And, I'm very passionate about the American hunting tradition, and this effort by Biden, in my view, is designed to slow participation, hurt Americans' ability to participate, because these alternatives to lead are very expensive, much more expensive than traditional lead ammunition. So I really think that's what this is all about, kind of damage the hunting tradition, which is, you know, certainly something I'm passionate about.
Mark, you wrote a piece recently about the Endangered Species Act. This ran in the Washington Times, and the effect on grizzly bears. Give us a little bit of background on this. It's a very fascinating piece.
Yeah, really. Yeah, Greg, it is. Basically, for the listeners that don't know, grizzly bears they met all legally required federal recovery goals under the Endangered Species Act 20 years ago. And that's the federal government's own requirements and their own data. And in fact, we now have, and I live in Wyoming, in Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho, we have 2 to 3 times the number of grizzly bears that the federal government said we needed to have a recovered population. And it's been that way for 20 years. What should have happened legally is the bear should have been delisted, management should have been turned over to the states. And the bureaucrats have refused to do that. And there's a long story as to why. There have been judges involved and various things. But essentially, the federal government is keeping the bear on the endangered species list despite their own requirements and their own data. And what that means is they're spending a lot of taxpayers' money. They're cheapening the intent of the Endangered Species Act. They're using paid government killers to control dangerous grizzlies, where sport hunters would do that for free, would pay vast sums of money to participate in the in the process. You know, if management was turned over to the states of Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, the states will have tightly regulated hunting of the bears to control the dangerous ones. So it's really a fascinating story of kind of federal overreach, waste of taxpayer money, you know, trampling on states' rights to manage wildlife. And it should be, even if you don't live in grizzly country, it should be important to you.
Well, you make it sound important. It certainly sounds, you've convinced me. Mark Jones is my guest, and again, he's the director of Hunter Outreach for Gun Owners of America. You know, as we talk about these things, Mark, the Florida legislature recently passed a resolution that would make it a constitutional right to hunt and fish in that state. Do you think we're going to see more states that taking those kinds of actions, that folks guaranteeing that folks have a right to hunt and fish in their state?
I think we are going to see more of that, and I'm glad to see it. And the reason states feel the need to do that is because of some of the issues we're talking about, where bureaucrats are trying to slow participation and stop people, you know, from hunting. All of those constitutional amendments, you know, allow for science-based wildlife management, and that's been very successful in this country for decades now. You know, our system is the envy of the world, and hunters are part of that. So there's a way to have healthy wildlife populations with the American hunting tradition being part of that, and it's good to see states stepping up and passing, you know, constitutional amendments like that.
You know, slip of the tongue. I was reading your biography at the GOA website, and it was talking about the fact that you've become also over the course of your life really active in Republican Party politics, and especially as we talk about, you know, the Second Amendment and gun owner rights. And that's something that we talk about on this program a lot. It's one of the things that our listeners really appreciate, the Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms. And you've done a lot of work along those lines, too.
Yes, I have, Greg. And, you know, I kind of got involved in that while working for the government as a wildlife biologist because I am very passionate about rights and liberties. And I just began to see this country changing so rapidly. I felt like I had to get involved, and that was a dangerous thing to do as a government employee and in my former profession. And I'm glad I did it. I mean, as you talk about on your show every day, we're losing kind of the American way of life in many ways, and we have to step up and protect that and defend that. And I'll tell you, the battle's going to go on for the rest of my life, and I've got children, and I want them to live in the country I grew up in, where, you know, we have opportunities and freedoms and liberties and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so many of us feel that way. Mark, I share your sentiments. Again, Mark's the director of Hunter Outreach for Gun Owners of America. I think we see that pretty predominantly right now, that there's such a focus on guns in this country, every time there's a shooting, and there are a lot of them, unfortunately, we see these days, but every time there's a shooting, the concentration seems to be on guns, when the fact of the matter is that law-abiding citizens aren't the ones who are out there using their guns in that kind of way.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so frustrating to see the Democrats' first reaction is to call for, you know, control of law-abiding citizens' rights, not to discuss real ways to protect our children. And I'll give you an example. You know, 16 states have some provision in their law and statute that would allow school districts to arm teachers and staff. And that doesn't mean that all the schools do it, but they could do it. And in the districts with armed teachers and staff, we've never had a fatal school shooting. It's a huge deterrent. You know, Texas arms 33% of their school districts. So it's so frustrating to see the left always go straight to regulating AR-15s or magazine capacity or whatever and not talk about how you really protect children. So it's disingenuous and it's dangerous. You know, another restriction on AR-15s is not going to stop the next mass shooter. That person criminals by their very definition don't follow the law.
Yeah, what's your take on, you know, some of the most recent efforts where we start talking about semi-automatic weapons? You know, semi-automatics, you're talking about you've got to depress the trigger fully every time you want to fire a round. The efforts to try to limit some of these semi-automatic weapons.
Yeah, it's crazy. When the Biden administration proposed their major gun control last summer, they had pages upon pages of information about various weapons they wanted to restrict. And when you looked at it, you could tell they had no understanding of firearms. They chose to restrict certain firearms, but they missed other ones. You know, they've deemed these weapons as weapons of war in quotation marks or as dangerous. And they used terms like assault rifle. And, you know, they just have no understanding. And they would have banned common things like your Marlin semi-automatic 22. And it's maddening because that's not going to protect people. All that's going to do is disarm a law-abiding person while criminals still have access to firearms. You know, Obama ran an operation called Fast and Furious where he made sure drug cartels were heavily armed, right? So it's kind of crazy when you think about the things they propose.
Mark Jones, again, is my guest. He's the director of a Hunter Outreach for Gun Owners of America. Mark, for folks that want more information about you and your group, what do you suggest they do, Mark?
They can check out our website at gunowners.org. And the main page has got a lot of, you know, current federal issues on it. But check out our hunting page. There and other things. If you're interested in hunting issues, you can sign up for email alerts and we'll keep you informed and engage with your elected representatives. Let them know you care about these kind of issues, your Second Amendment rights, your hunting opportunities. You know, there are people in Congress stepping up trying to fight Biden's bureaucratic overreach. And so it will be good if your elected representatives know you support that. It'll be more likely they'll back those efforts, and this fight's going to go on for a long, long time.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mark, what should I have asked here that maybe I missed? What do you want to add?
Well, you know, one thing I'd add real quick, during the COVID crisis, the height of it, Biden proposed to ban the interstate transport of legally harvested wild game, and I'd like your listeners to think about that a minute, because many of them probably cross state lines to hunt. You know, I do. I go to North Dakota. I have friends at ranch. I go from Wyoming to North Dakota to pheasant hunt. I wouldn't have been able to bring my pheasants home from North Dakota. And it kind of flew under the radar because COVID got all the news. But that would have crippled hunting in this country. A lot of people travel 5 miles across the state line to hunt with their brother, you know, to deer hunt. You may leave South Dakota and go to Minnesota.
Absolutely.
That would have stopped all that. And it was, again, flimsy science, nothing to back it up. And we fought that, as did other groups, and it kind of died out. But just want your listeners to know some of the crazy stuff that's been proposed in recent months and kind of be on the lookout and be talking to your elected representatives, and because there's going to be another one come along. We don't really know what it is just yet, but there's going to be something else come along to stop hunting opportunity and hunter's rights.
Mark Jones is my guest. Again, he's the director of Hunter Outreach for Gun Owners of America. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for your work and your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on, Greg, and I'd be happy to come back anytime.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Hopefully we'll talk to you again. Mark Jones, again, of Gun Owners of America.